are you giggling about over there?
Well, we're about to pull the curtain back just a bit.
Yeah.
I love that Tyler scurried into the studio to give me the read that we're about to do here shortly as we find the great,
We do. Are we finding the great? It's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Great Clips.
Yes. I was just amused that I got the you know, that's how you know.
Yeah.
It's official.
Yeah.
Finding the great.
Brought
to you by Great Clips. You know what? Let's just get it out of the way.
It's time to find the great on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Find the great, presented by Great Clips.
All right, so the question is, will the Bears find the great in their tight end, Cole Kmet, who is a second-round pick, and they need to find the great in him?
That would help the cause, for sure.
And Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator, met the media earlier today, and he discussed Cole Kmet finding the great.
You know, I think Cole is still young in his career, and he has a lot of really cool tools. I think he's starting to learn how to use them. You know, I think you talk about a guy that we hope can do a lot of different things. You know, we've lined him up wide. We let him do some routes outside. We brought him in tight. We're putting him in line and making him, you know, block the big boys up front too. And I think the cool part about him is that he can do all that stuff really well. You know, he's got to get better at just about everything, because I think he's on the brink right now of taking his game to another level. So I'm hopeful that by the time we get through this camp, he's ready to be a rock star for us, because we're going to need him to be.
That is interesting.
Now, that would help for sure.
There's a lot of praise in that comment from Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, but there's also, I feel like, a bit of that's him looking to maybe light a fire under Cole Kmet, because he's talking about a lot of tools and a lot of talents, and now he's hoping that he can take that next step and become a rock star.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, there's a difference between the coach saying, this kid is going to be a rock star, versus we hope he takes that next step and becomes the rock star we think he can be. So, yeah, I think that there's a difference between that. I think there's a lot of unknown. I think the staff is getting to know these guys. There are a lot of positions that need to be won or claimed. The tight end position is obviously Cole's, you know, it's just a matter of whether or not he can take a step forward. It's so funny. The other last segment you were talking about, when we were comparing Justin Fields to Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And you referenced the play that he made against San Francisco, that brilliant scramble and run. There's a lot of guys in the league that can do that now.
Sure.
Josh Allen can do that. Deshaun Watson, when he's not, you know, misbehaving, can do that. I wouldn't say that Patrick Mahomes could do that. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is nearly as fast as those other guys. Obviously Lamar Jackson can do that. There's mm-hmm. plenty of guys in the league that can do that stuff.
Russell Wilson can still do that.
Maybe he can. Yeah, I mean, there are guys in the league that can do that because they're so athletic. Those plays happen once in every blue moon.
Yes.
So, like, I'm not telling you people shouldn't be giggly and excited about that play. But I get giggly and excited about the throw he made to Cole Kmet in the Pittsburgh Steelers game on Monday night.
Yep.
Where it's a see it, recognize that that's open in the NFL. May not have been at Ohio State, but at the NFL level, that's open.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it where it needs to go. Trust your receiver. Trust the route. Trust the concept. Trust that it's open. And I think it was his best play of the year. Now, everybody else can sit around and say that, oh, my God, that was the most amazing run, the scramble, the breakdown. Okay, I'm not telling you it wasn't cool. There are a lot of guys in the league that can do that. The guys in the league that can take that next step and be those difference-making quarterbacks are the ones that make the throw that he made against the Pittsburgh Steelers that Monday night consistently.
Yes.
That's the play that had me excited about the potential for Justin Fields. And that's the type of play that he needs to continue to trust. Make the throw. It's not always going to be a completion for whatever reason. That's open in the NFL. That's the right read. That's where the ball needs to go. Make those decisions and make those throws. How many times have you watched Aaron Rodgers? And again, you're comparing apples to oranges now, because Aaron's one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of the league, and Justin's only in his second year. How many times have you seen Aaron Rodgers throw a football and you're like, what the hell was he looking at? There's no way that there, you know, his receiver's open. But he throws it to a spot. He knows what open is in the NFL. He understands the offense, and he trusts it. And, you know, it's part of the maturation process for a young quarterback. But, yeah, those are the things that the quarterback needs to do. Cole Kmet is going to be instrumental in the development of Justin Fields. My hope is that, you know, I haven't seen a lick of football that Velus Jones has played. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of volunteer football. If they're on, I will see. I have watched them play. I can't tell you that I specifically singled out Velus Jones. But my hope is that Velus Jones can be for them like the kid we were talking about from the Detroit Lions last year.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That can step in. And
Equanimeous's brother, little brother.
Can make a difference right away. So I think it's interesting to hear what Luke Getsy has to say. I think that, again, Peggy Kaczynski, when she joined us earlier, I asked her if she kind of, if it feels right at camp. Is there a good vibe and is the message on point? And she said yes. And I feel the same way. I don't know where it's going. I don't know if they will ultimately succeed. But I like their consistency with their message. I like how they're going about working, and I like, you know, how they're doing things.
You and I are both in the bag for Kyle Shanahan, and the fact that Luke Getsy comes from the Shanahan tree after working with Matt LaFleur in Green Bay gives me optimism, and I'm, you know, encouraged by what I've heard so far from him.
Think about what they did for Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I was a Jimmy fan when he left New England, and I thought he was a really good player. And I, you know, there's a point where I had to say, look, maybe he's not as good as I thought he was going to be. He's never been able to stay healthy. When he does stay healthy, his teams win. I mean, he's got a ridiculous win-loss record, which is an overvalued statistic because so many things go in. You can have a quarterback that plays exceptionally well and loses a game, and he gets the L, and he wasn't the reason why you lost. So it's an overvalued stat. I thought that Jimmy G was a product of Shanahan and how they did things. And I thought Shanny made things easier on him.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely.
So, like, the point I'm getting to is if you can take an offense and with how you devise the offense and how you call plays and how you adapt it to your quarterback, you can make that quarterback better or at the very least get the most out of him. Like, they're not asking Jimmy G to throw consistent 18-yard comebacks. That's not what he does exceptionally well. He does a better job of throwing crossing routes. He does a better job of, you know, the deep overs. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Getsy recognizes what it is that Justin Fields does well and asks him to accentuate that.
Let's be honest, too. When you have, you know, play designers who can put together a game plan that has the running game and the elements of the run that the 49ers have done, or even the Packers. Like, a lot of love for Aaron Rodgers, no doubt about it, whether he, you know, he's tripping his face off or not and finding ways to MVPs. They had a very dynamic running game with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon last year. And prior to that, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. You know, so it makes things a lot easier when you're putting together a passing game that has elements of a play-action game. Like, the play-action pass, when executed, you know, in a way that puts the defense on edge, where they're taking that first step forward because they're not sure if, you know, the ball's going to be put in the belly of the running back or if it's going, they need to get on their heels. Like, when you can catch a defense, you know, where they're unsure of what they're doing time and time again, I think that's why when you watch Kyle Shanahan's offenses, you're just, you know, when you watch good offensive execution and a play action passing game, it's just impossible for a defense to defend when executed correctly.
Don't tell that to Brandon Staley, because he'll tell you that the run is not an important component to the play action game, which is nonsense. But
again, it's about run design, though, too, right? Like, you know, what you're doing.
Yeah, but you ultimately have to run the ball to convince the defense that they need to take that step forward. If you're just dropping back and running play-action fakes, but you never run the ball, at some points,
you know, it's funny, though, because Brandon Staley, as a defensive head coach, has always kind of made the run completely secondary, all about stopping the pass. And I think for the most part, I think there's, you know, the idea that what he's doing defensively, it's given him a leg up for the most part in the defenses he's run, because he understands that you have most offenses have incorporated passing to win. But Kyle Shanahan has shown you in San Francisco that if done correctly, the running game, remember what they did to Green Bay
and the championship game. I think they threw the ball like five times.
I think it was eight total, but yeah. Maybe you're right. It might have been five. But the point was that when done in the right manner, having the ability to run down someone's throat and they can't do anything about it. And then, oh, by the way, if you can also throw in the play action pass, it's unstoppable. It still is.
Very infrequently will you find a quarterback that can function with just throwing the football. At some point, you have to take the pressure off him and you have to help him with a running game.
So getting back to the Bears, though, and Luke Getsy, that, you know, he comes from that system. And so at least seeing what he's doing, I'll be interested to see next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, when the Bears host the Chiefs at Soldier Field. We know now, you know, Matt Eberflus told us, you know, hey, starters are going to play.
Yes, we will play first team guys against the Chiefs. Absolutely. The number of plays we're still working on. But we do want to get them a good amount.
Does that include Fields?
That includes everybody.
So there you go. You heard it from the head coach yesterday. The Bears will be playing their starters against the Chiefs. So for the first time in a while, I'll be interested to see the first preseason game and what the Bears do offensively, because Matt Nagy, for the most part, was kind of, you know, we barely got a series for the most part from the starters when he was out there.
And Matt Eberflus also said, though, look, this is the situation we're in. These guys need to practice. They need to play. And I think he even said at some point, he goes, look, in a different environment and different situation, we may handle the situation different. Like, they may not play as much. But currently, with how things are, as we try to establish ourselves, everyone's going
to
play.
But as fans, it'll be really interesting to finally see a preseason game.
They play
game
Kansas City, right?
They do.
So you probably, this is the example. This is an accomplished team on both sides of the football, and they're probably not going to play any of their starters against you.
Yeah.
So it's basically you're going to be doing what you did today. You're playing against the scouting. But, again, you can still work on things, timing, adjustments, and everything else. So
for the first time in a while, I'll be interested in a Bears preseason game more so than I have been. Because I have to tell you, in the last few years, like the way Matt Nagy went about running his preseason situation didn't really create a whole lot of interest for me.
No, it didn't.
And with so many uncertainties on the offensive side of the ball for the Bears, too, you know, I can actually look at Pringle, Jones. We can watch Cole Kmet and see if he can actually get open. You know,
I keep an eye on Braxton Jones as well.
The offensive line.
They've put a lot of faith in him. He's a fifth-round pick out of, Southern Utah. He is a Ryan Poles guy, hence the reason why he's probably in there. He may turn out to be an all-pro. He may turn out to be the better player. Larry Borum was given some reps early. It seems now that they're going to go with their guy, and hence the reason why they seems as if Tevin Jenkins isn't part of the plans and hasn't been on the field for the last 7 days. That there is a little bit of disconnect there between him and the offensive line coach and the staff in general. It sounds like Tevin Jenkins wanted to be guaranteed a spot. And they've made him get into this competition with all of these guys, and it didn't go over very well. Or we may find out that there's another nagging injury that hasn't been reported.
Boy, that concerns me if that truly is the case, that Tevin Jenkins is not happy because he was put in a position where they're telling him, hey, go out there and show us what you're capable of and win your spot.
Well, this is what I'll say to you as someone in the locker room. Mm-hmm. You lose all respect at that point. If you're not willing to play because you're not happy with how you've been treated, we're all competing. It's a new staff. Like, you didn't do anything to be given anything. Like, you were drafted in the second round. You immediately couldn't play because you had an injury. Okay, not your fault. And again, this is all hypothetical. Yeah. But if he's not practicing because he's upset and this isn't medical and this is a him thing and not a team thing, then You could go kick rocks. Like that, I don't know why you'd get. I can't imagine anyone is supporting his cause if that's the case. Or are they telling him, don't practice because they're trying to move him? I have no idea what's going on, but it's an unsettled situation. It's unfortunate. You would think, especially for a young man who had a disappointing first year in the league, that what he would want to do is impress the new coaching staff. It sounds like he wants a free lunch.
Boy, that's disheartening, because for a guy who was a second-round pick, who a lot of people, when he was drafted in the second round, thought that, remember, a lot of people had him projected to be the Bears' first-round pick when they were sitting 21, right? They had the 21st overall pick before they moved up.
We did our mocks.
Yes.
And we don't know a damn thing because we're not in the room.
Still.
But he's the guy I thought they would focus on offensive line. I didn't think that they had the currency to move up in the draft to draft one of the quarterbacks. I thought they'd all be gone. They surprised us a little bit.
Justin Fields fell a little bit.
But had they stayed at 21, my suggestion was, or my prediction was, that they were going to draft Tevin Jenkins.
And they were, we thought at the time, fortunate that they were able to go ahead and grab him in the second round.
Yeah.
It was surprising to a lot of people. And so a lot of people looked at it as quite the coup that they were able to grab Fields and then still land Tevin Jenkins in the second round. And now if that is the reality, and again, we're kind of flying blind here because we're not getting any real information from Matt Eberflus, who essentially refuses to address any type of injury.
Not getting any information as well on Roquan. That's not as concerning to me, because I do believe that will, I think that the, look, I don't know. I would think that they have a value of him for him. They like him. It's been a pretty friendly environment or situation so far that they'll find some common ground. My hope is that they'll get him signed. I'm just interested to hear also what he's looking for. If he wants to be paid like TJ Watt and not paid like Fred Warner, then I can't support that cause.
Well, no doubt about it. The question is, does the current Bears coaching staff look at Roquan Smith and do they see somebody on par like you do with Fred Warner
or
and
Shaquille Leonard? I don't know. I mean, like, they may also be in this mode at this point. Like, look, we've been to practice for 10 days. We're not giving anybody $90 million at this point. As good as you are.
So, but here's the thing.
I don't know that that's their approach either, but maybe it is. And maybe what they say is, look, Roquan, we think you're a fabulous player, but we want to see you in this defense. And then we'll continue to talk as the season goes on. But right now, we got so many things going on that signing you to whatever he's asking for contract is a priority, but it's not at the top of our list right now.
It's tough because if that is their position, I can understand it. But then what's going to change to bring Roquan Smith, make him happy, bring him back in the fold where he's still practicing if they're not going to pay him?
And I don't know, but at some point, Jeff, he's got to come back to play because he's going to lose the year of service, which means he'll never get to free agency.
Of course, and that's the question, you know. And I wonder, you know, it may be small, but I mean, first of all, his size in comparison to Darius Leonard, they're very similar. Leonard's listed at 6'2", 230. Roquan's 6'1", 232.
Yeah. And I think they're built a little differently, but yeah, I mean, there's
terms of frame, the difference is too, when you're looking at it statistically. Okay, so Darius Leonard, or formerly Darius Leonard, now Shaq Leonard, Shaquille Leonard, that we're calling him because he prefers that. He's a 3-time All-Pro.
Well, he's got the skins on the wall, so to speak.
And you know, when you look at it, he has in his career, in his 4-year career, Leonard has 11 interceptions. He's forced 17 fumbles, Waddle.
Yeah.
He's forced 17 fumbles, okay? And he's also got 15 sacks. When you look at Roquan Smith.
And by the way, the sack totals are really not that important for the positions these guys play because they're not hands in the ground outside linebackers who are essentially pass rushers. They get their sacks on blitzes. I would suggest to you that I don't know this, that Roquan probably has more sacks than Shaquille Leonard and Fred Warner.
So here's the deal. Leonard, he actually has 15 career sacks. Now, I'm bringing him up specifically because they've both been in the league 4 years. So, you know, that comp, you know, all the numbers I'm giving you is over the same period of time. Last year, Leonard did not have a sack. Prior to that, though, that's when he accumulated in 3 seasons those 15 sacks. Roquan Smith has 14 sacks throughout his career. So Leonard still has one more than him in his career, despite not having any last season. Now, Roquan Smith in his career has only forced one fumble.
That's
and
weird.
He has five interceptions. So when we're talking about those splash plays, those, you know, creating the turnovers, now maybe it's a product too of if you're going to move Roquan to the that Will linebacker position, which, you know, when Matt Eberflus, when I filled in for Yurko on Carmen and Yurko, and I asked him specifically about it, it sounded like that is very much a possibility. Roquan being moved to the Will linebacker spot and given the opportunity to maybe create some more of those splash plays. But those key numbers that I just gave you, I can see why maybe Matt Eberflus is telling Ryan Poles, listen,
let's see what we have.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Well, that was my point.
I don't want to commit Shaq Leonard money to Roquan Smith
until I see him play like Shaq Leonard.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm saying that I don't think it's unreasonable. I do believe that they'll get there. I think that there's a healthy respect for Roquan. Mm-hmm. But I said this earlier in the week. I can't sit here and tell you that they're playing their cards wrong. If, in fact, their defense is, this is their defense, before we want to give somebody $90 million and probably $50 million of it or more is guaranteed. Yep. I want to see him play in this defense. Just confirm my beliefs.
Yes.
How in the world can you suggest that that is an unrealistic ask? I can't.
I mean, again, I love Roquan Smith. I think he's the best player on this roster. No, you know, I think it's
currently,
yeah.
And like, I don't he's think a really good player,
it's
but
not really debatable.
Unfortunately, your best player is now a guy is a linebacker that doesn't rush the quarterback.
And
when we rank the importance of positions, quarterback is first. This is for me. And this is the old Sal Pal conversation. Mm-hmm. The guys that go after quarterbacks consistently are second. We can talk about the guys that protect the blind side of the quarterback as. Whether or not it's your left tackle, is it the wide receiver, is it the cornerback that's covering the wide receiver? Like, you go down the list, I'm not even close to middle linebacker or weak side linebacker.
And
not
again,
even close.
And if we're getting to, again, essentially the same number of sacks, Leonard has one more in his career. And again, those difference-making, turnover-creating plays, 6 for Roquan, 28 for Darius Leonard.
Yeah. I think Barry in the Loop got an interesting question.
Hey, Barry, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie Meller in for Sylvie today. What's up? Hey, Barry.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, Bear?
Oh, hey, a couple things I want to say. I hope the Bears don't turn into what the Bulls used to be, where they don't want to pay anybody and no one comes here. But then the other thing that I want to confirm, right, Roquan also calls the plays on defense, correct?
Yes, he has the green sticker on the back of his helmet.
Okay, so if he calls the plays on the defense, right, so even if he's not getting the turnovers, where do the Bears rank as a team collectively because of his brain in calling the defense?
Well,
that's got to have some value.
He calls the defense, but basically what he's doing is, like the quarterback, is he's relaying the call that comes in from the sideline. It's not like the old days where Dick Butkus was entrusted with calling the defensive fronts and everything. He's the one that gets the communication from the sideline. Look, he's a fabulous player.
Yes. Fabulous. We don't want to diminish him.
Don't want to diminish him in any way, shape, or form. I'm not worried that they're not going to pay guys.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to be overly critical of them if, in fact, before they pay someone, they want to see how that person fits in their system.
Hey, we are talking football right now. If you'd like to talk more football with us in person, guess what? We've got 2 pairs of VIP tickets to the ESPN Chicago Football Fest. It is our official kickoff of the football season, all taking place on Saturday, August 20th at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. Doors open at 10 a.m. And if you don't win right now, again, callers 10 and 20, 312-332-3776 for a pair of VIP tickets. But if you don't win, don't worry. You can go. It's all free. All it requires is a little bit of registration by you at ESPNFootballFest.com. Again, that's registration at ESPNFootballFest.com. Join all of ESPN Chicago talent, including Adam Schefter and Field Yates, who will be there as well. We'll be talking about betting. We're talking Bears. We're talking fantasy football. All of it at the ESPN Football Fest. So make sure you register. You must be 21 years or older to attend. And plenty of more guests are going to be announced soon. So keep it locked here on ESPN Chicago for all the info. And register at ESPN.com. Chicago Fantasy Football Fest. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today. Up next, we preview the White Sox and Rangers with Connor McKnight.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Can I send a congratulations out to somebody? I'd like to congratulate Randy Merck and his favorite baseball team won a game today. Wilson Contreras hit a two-run home run in the eighth as the Cubs beat the Marlins 2-1. Yay!
Did they throw him a goodbye party for possibly
there
his last home run ever at Wrigley Field?
Lots of hugging in the dugout.
I assume he's going to hope it's not going to be his last home run of the season, but the way that all unfolded obviously was very humorous to me. I still can't believe he's on the roster for the Cubs. But hey,
it just doesn't make any sense. And it's not a shot at him. He's been a four-time All-Star.
Waddle, we found out from Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer, that apparently it was a buyer's market.
No, because Rick said it was a seller's market.
Rick Hahn said it was a seller's market, and that's the perfect opportunity to bring in Connor McKnight.
We always know there's always money in the banana stand. By the way, Connor is brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
From deep in the heart of Texas, Connor McKnight joins
us. Sweating his beans off.
And I wonder, Connor, was it a buyer's market or was it a seller's market?
I think the question we should be asking ourselves, fella, is what is a market really? What is a market to you? What is a market in any language? And I think the answer we come down to pretty clearly is that a market is defined individually by those that assess it from the different prisms through which they view marketplaces in general. I don't know.
I don't know what you said. I just farted.
I think that actually...
No one knows what anyone says. Everyone's upset with what they did at the deadline except for the Nationals and the Padres.
I don't know. By the way, Meller told me today that the Padres sold out for 2023 season tickets.
You see that, Connor?
Why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they cap their season ticket hold.
Have you seen the think pieces going around, the galaxy brain nonsense going around the internet talking about how, I don't know if the Padres' business model is sustainable and how the hell are they going to afford all these players? Who cares?
Right. I mean,
they're in the business of winning baseball games. Yeah. Go win baseball games.
Listen, you know what, Connor? Listen. If you want to make money, I think they all make money. Yeah. But if you truly want to make money, sell your franchise on the way out.
Yes.
That's where you cash.
Editorial comments here that I'm sure Connor McKnight in no way endorses, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if those think pieces were penned by Jerry Reinsdorf, as he wonders if the
Connor, your thoughts.
The Chicago White Sox don't necessarily always like to add salary if fans are not in the ballpark. Anyway.
Meller comes into the studio every day with 2 gallons of gas and just decides where to disperse it.
Anyway.
Just ready to go.
So... Waddle and I, though, we did a nice little number, completely ignoring the fact that the White Sox lost 3-2 and gave Johnny Cueto a lot of praise. And then we talked about Dylan Cease's Cy Young chances and where he's at. He's on the mound tonight trying to get the White Sox right again. But, boy, it was a disappointing way to start out the series last night as the White Sox lose to the Rangers when it looked like everything was set up finally. They had the lineup in place the way they wanted it. Johnny Cueto gives them yet another quality start, but the offense cannot give him the support he needed. What were your thoughts about last night's loss to the Rangers?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I think there's, you know, kind of 3 categories of baseball games in a year, right? There's good games, you know, games where you look like the team you thought you'd be when you come into a season. There's the games in the middle category. Maybe you come back and you win one. Maybe doesn't go your way in another. And then there are just bad games. And last night was a bad game for the White Sox. It just was. You let a rookie get through the first inning when he was clearly feeling it. You want to put up 1 or 2 or, heck, 3 or 4 against the guy making his major league debut in the first inning so he doesn't get settled. And then he can have his introduction to the show and the authenticator can validate that first strikeout sometime in the second or third if he's still around. That's how you want to make that work. It didn't for the White Sox last night. And I thought, too, you know, what was a little unfortunate for them is that, listen, Cueto's line is 8 innings, 11 hits, 3 runs, all earned, no walks, 4 strikeouts, if memory serves. Probably didn't deserve to have 11 hits on that line either. You know, the White Sox outfield, Andrew Vaughn had some trouble in right. He doesn't have a ton of range. The fact that he's out there and can handle it at all is a miracle and a testament to how hard a worker Andrew Vaughn is. But a couple of those probably get caught and probably aren't the second and third runs for the Rangers. So, yeah, that was a tough one last night. Fortunately, the White Sox have 3 more against a pretty bad baseball team to go ahead and make up for it. And that's kind of been their MO in the second half of the season, or I guess, you know, starting with that first series against Minnesota before the break.
Let's play the positive game. Let's say that the Sox do get to the postseason and you have your way of setting up your postseason roster or your rotation. At what point do you give the ball to Johnny Cueto in this hypothetical situation?
Well, you're going Dylan Cease 1, right? I mean, there's no question about that. I think at this point, yeah, I mean, if the playoffs, there's 2 different questions, right? If the playoffs start tomorrow, who starts game 2?
Yes.
And if the playoffs start when the playoffs start, who starts game 2? And guys, I feel wild saying it. I think Johnny Cueto starts game 2 of the playoffs tomorrow. And even if, you know, even if Lucas is pitching the way he is, Lance looks like the way he is. Right now, I think Johnny Cueto is that guy. Now, the wild card here is Cueto has come out of the bullpen twice in his career. One of them was this season, and he looked really good while he was doing it. Maybe you want to piggyback something like that. I could see creating a tandem of Kopech and Cueto in some sort of combination and then attacking a game that way. That probably wouldn't be the way I want to attack game 2. So I think it's probably fair to say that the White Sox are going to want to wait and see if Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito, Michael Kopech, if they want to go ahead and earn that second start of a playoff series. And I think any one of those guys can. But right now, man, I think it's got to be Johnny Cueto.
I love it. See, I told you that yesterday, too. It's insane, but the reality is he leads the team in quality starts with Dylan Cease on the roster. And by the way, I think he started like 6 less games because he wasn't added to the rotation until May.
It's insane.
Johnny Cueto, 36-year-old Johnny Cueto.
Connor, what do you have a good explanation for why this team seems to stumble in game 1 of all of these series against inferior opponents?
I don't think I've got a good, neat, buttoned-up one, but they have faced, you know, kind of that random starter in the first game. Remember, the Royals added, I'm going to forget the name of the starter, not Brad Keller, the singer. Jack. Was it Singer that started game 1?
Yes.
Anyway,
Brady Singer.
He came up. Yeah, Brady Singer. Thanks, Jeff. And he came off the injured list like an hour and a half before the lineup, before first pitch, you know, so that was kind of a change. Reagan's last night is a, you know, kind of an unknown. They've got video on him from the minor leagues and whatnot. So really, this doesn't hold a whole lot of water. It's weird, isn't it? It shouldn't happen this way. But I think for the White Sox through 105 games right now, there are a lot of things that shouldn't happen for them that have. And I think the effort over the next, you know, 50, whatever, has to be overcoming those things that shouldn't happen. It's clear that this team is going to have things that aren't ideal, either in their outfield defense or maybe out of the bullpen or what have you, but they clearly have enough talent to overcome those things, and it's the quest to bring that to bear over the last 55, 58 games. That has to be what the effort is.
Andrew Vaughn's back in right field tonight, but hopefully the defense will be a little bit better in the outfield with Luis Robert manning center field. He was DHing last night. He's back out in the outfield tonight. He will have a day off tomorrow because of workload restraints. What did you see from Luis Robert at the plate, and are you encouraged that he is finally back?
Yeah, I mean, he looked like, yes, absolutely encouraged that he's back. He looked like he hadn't missed a whole lot of time. He flew around first to third last night as well. White Sox didn't score in that inning, I don't think, but watching him hit the accelerator was awesome to see. I think this, and Luis has talked about it, this will be the real test, right? He said center field would be that test for him. The White Sox offensively are much, much better when Luis Robert is playing. They are infinitely better in the outfield when he is playing, so that'll be a huge step. I thought also last night, you know, you look at the line score, and he's got, is it 1 hit, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts? It should have been 3 walks. The strike 3 call on his first strikeout was like 8 inches outside. The strike zone was absolutely atrocious last night, but both sides had to face it and both sides had their gripes. But anyway, that's all to say that Luis Robert looks like he's looking at everything really well right now. So that's that kind of plate control, that kind of plate discipline is really encouraging to see, because what I think that could hopefully mean for the White Sox is more guys on for August Abreu, and that is going to be exactly what they need.
What is your work schedule for this weekend?
I am. I have no responsibilities here whatsoever. I'm Lieutenant Weinberg here tonight. But Saturday and Sunday, I'm filling in for Len Kasper on the call. Nice. Right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox
Network.
So get
your drinks in tonight, because, mister, you're going to be working from this point forward.
You know it. Well, you know, I'm going to keep the book. I'm going to keep the book. I'm going to find a nice Texas beer around here and, and enjoy the ball game.
I'm not giving him an air. You,
when you hear on the field mic somebody screaming at Blue, it'll probably be me.
By the way, speaking of that, I was helping my daughter move into her apartment, do something yesterday, so I was listening to the game on the way home. I got to tell you, and I know you're not in charge of this, but the crowd noise was drowning out the broadcast. Like, for whatever reason.
It's interesting that you mention it. We've actually, so I will call Eric Ostrowski after this and tell him that Waddle aired him out right here on a 50,000.
No, that's a lie. You know that's not the case.
I'm kidding.
I'm just saying, listen, there were times when I couldn't hear Len's presentation because the crowd noise. I'm thinking, like, this is the Rangers. There's probably nine people in there.
Hmm.
So we had a shift change in the engineer here at the ballpark. And the guy who was working last night is not here tonight. And it's a fellow named Kern, who I just met. Real nice guy. He showed me where to get a bite here at the ballpark. Food's not great, but that's not Kern's fault. And,
Is that his first name?
Kern. Kern.
It's like
is
Prince.
His first name.
It's just no name. No first, no last, just Kern.
Kern Brugland is his name, and he's from just around Shreveport, Louisiana. Nice guy.
Kern, my man. Like that.
It sounds Scandinavian to me, not Louisiana.
The Scandinavians, everyone knows the Norse made their way over to Louisiana well before anyone else did.
Thank you.
Eric the Red landed on Bourbon Street. Everyone knows.
No doubt.
All right. I was just saying, like, you mentioned the I just figured I'd give you my 2 cents here. I'm not being critical. Well, I'm just saying, like, it was odd because the ambient sound, is that what it is? Ambient sound was really deafening. It almost sounded like it was a playoff game at the Ranger Stadium.
First of all, I have no idea what it's called. I want a contest. Secondly, we'll get it ironed out for you, Waddle.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you. I'm not being critical. I'm just being observant. That's all I got. I got nothing else, Jeff.
That's it.
All right.
Good
pleasure, as always.
Enjoy your evening off, and we will be listening this weekend as you have the call of White Sox and Rangers on Saturday and Sunday.
Connor.
Thanks for hopping on, Connor.
He's gone.
Long gone. He's like, all right,
he's working on the ambient sound.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Up next, we've got a pair of White Sox tickets for you to win.
I think you're going
to
talk about this pair.
We've got a pair awaiting us. They're going to crosstalk with us next as well. We'll do all that on ESPN 1000. This hour is brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special that includes golf and a cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
Good hour.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
And no. Then score more than two runs.
Yes, that would be good. It is your final chance.
Kicking the ball all over the field.
On this Free Ticket Friday. Free Ticket Friday, brought to you by Miller Lite and FanDuel, giving away a pair of tickets to the White Sox and Astros coming your way August 15th. Great showdown. Justin Verlander against Johnny Cueto that night. Be caller number 7 right now to 312-332-3776 and win yourself a pair of White Sox tickets. And don't forget, if you do not win, we've still got a pair of tickets for you. Go out and check out Morgan's Bar and Grill in Libertyville.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abdallah. Yeah, Black. Chasers and Niles. And
Chasers.
Zubar and Grill in Brookfield for your chance to win more White Sox tickets. That's tonight from 6 to 8 p.m.
Ask Chris and Adam your question about quarterbacks.
Okay, so based on where they're at now, with the Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury weirdness going on.
Did you hear that sound bite?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
So, okay, so Cliff challenged Kyler Murray to go out and call plays because he wanted to know that this S is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And also knowing that the contract that the Cardinals gave him, would you rather have as your quarterback right now, Kyler Murray, with that contract, or Justin Fields?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
Yep, that's where Waddle went, and that's where I land as well. And yeah. Would you guys would admit,
your mine was more because of the contract flexibility.
And we're
that
not
you have,
sold on Justin Fields, right? You guys aren't sold on him.
I'm not sold on Kyler Murray.
I'm not sold on either.
Yeah,
but I think
that's
that.
What I mean. Yeah, yeah.
I think that if Justin Fields reaches the potential that I think he can be better than Kyler Murray.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's possible. I'd also tell Cliff Kingsbury to try and win more than...
5 games?
Yeah, yeah. Like finish out the season, yes. Pal. You didn't do that in college. You were in the Big 12. You had Patrick Mahomes, and you couldn't finish over 500, so...
There's something going on. That's why I said when the Kyler Murray contract became public knowledge that he had X number of study hours in there... Mm-hmm. My immediate thought was one thing.
Bet the under.
And then you hear this, and you also factor in, obviously, that this team has not finished a season strongly in the last 2 years. Like, last year they lost 4 of the last 5, and the year before that they lost 5 of the last 7. His play is his size and how he plays the game. He's reckless. He's fearless in some ways, but he's also reckless. By the end of the year, he's banged up and making bad decisions. That's not a Cardinals team that I would hitch my wagon to.
No, and when we talked to Aaron Schatz yesterday on the Bear Down podcast, that he mentioned, too, that their defense wasn't as good as the numbers actually said, because they started, the opposing offense would start with the ball in, like, horrible field position. So that benefited their defense a ton. So he expects that to, like, regress back
to
the mean.
Why was that? Because they won the field position battle?
They won
the
field position battle all the time. And so because of that, he expects their defense to kind of regress back to the mean. So he doesn't think that they'll be that great of a defense.
And so you're playing the under? 9.5 is the total.
Yeah,
I
would go under.
Yeah, tough division, too. You know, the 49ers and the Rams are both good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Waddle, tell us about this runner, this sprinter. He had something flopping.
He was an Italian. He was under, it was the U20 event.
Okay.
He was representing Italy.
Centimeters? Okay.
I don't know.
Never mind.
Millimeter? Or no, not millimeter. What is it? Kilometers?
You said under 20, so I figured, you know, inches, we're talking centimeters. Is that we're talking under 20?
Listen, in accomplished athletics, friend, that's how you're placed. Under 20, under 18, under 19, you know.
He does not care for your joke.
Yeah, he doesn't care for my length joke here.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Meanwhile, Waddle tell you about the transfer market, the soccer transfer market.
Yeah, I don't care about that either.
So the runner from
Italy is running, and he's got himself a lead, and then his dong falls out of his shorts.
How long is the race?
His race? The race?
Yeah, the race.
It's the 400.
400, okay. 400 so it's meters. A 400, so we're talking around 50 seconds. When did the
I think it was 51
it
and change was, yeah. was the race.
When did it
race?
Fall out?
He had a lead.
Final
he
turn?
Had a lead, so... let's just call it halfway through.
Okay, so halfway through. So he's got 200 left, and you're telling... So what happened? What was the end result?
He kept trying to fiddle with his crotch.
Because
he got off a stride. Yeah, you try to run a 400 grabbing your junk?
No, just keep going.
I assume he wasn't wearing the short shorts. He was wearing, like, one of those, like...
I don't know. I didn't see it. I said
what
he's either his
called?
Shorts were too small or his singlet.
He was probably wearing a singlet.
I said
that's
either his shorts were too small or his wiener was too big.
Well, it's possible both could be. You know, you
long
don't
wiener,
want,
short shorts.
Listen, when you run, you don't want a lot of materials, so I get it. Also, how did you not power through?
Just keep going.
You have a 200. Even with it flopping,
Chris,
you go to the finish line.
I guess, but you're a runner.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you?
I wore those short shorts in high school.
I bet you did.
In races,
but aren't you jeopardizing the health of your testicles?
No.
If everything is flopping around and you're trying to run at the highest rate of speed, you could get testicular torsion.
Well, what flopped out?
Well, if the dong goes, so do the marbles.
Not always.
Yes.
I mean, again,
it depends on the length.
Yes,
I feel
agree
like,
completely.
Yeah,
I think it depends on the length.
Were the little buddies both out and twisted? Then I understand.
Listen,
then you go to the infield and you take care of your business.
I didn't research
but if it's
it.
Just the flop, and he's got 200 left. He's on the home stretch. You powered through.
Was it the twig and the berries? Just the twig?
That's my part. Or my point.
How'd you get the berries on top of the twig?
Don't know.
You see my baseball?
He's running.
You see my baseball?
That, you know what? That
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that he didn't win
in that movie when he comes out and Ben Stiller is got his stuff and the guy screams, "We got a bleeder!
We got a bleeder!"
That was my agent from football and football. Yes, Brad Blank. Waddle.
And it's a wonder Waddle didn't make more in his career because his agent was starring in.
Hold on, we got to be an extra.
He grew up with the Farrelly brothers. So they put him in the movie.
I want Connor to do that for McKnight at the Movies. Our scene opens on a man.
We've got Franks and Beans.
Something hanging from his ear.
Is that a penis?
I think it's a penis.
All right, boys, what do you guys got coming up tonight?
I don't know. Abdallah doesn't want to do the show tonight.
No, I didn't say that at
That's
all.
What you told Tyler.
Not what I said at all.
Why don't you want to do the show? It's a Friday
show.
Shut
up, Claire. That's not what I said at all. Not what I said at all.
Show yourself out,
He goes, what do you guys got? I go, I know how Fridays go. Mitchell and Displain's going to call. Gideon's going to call. Moe's going to call. We'll do Song of the Night, and I'll go home.
There you go. That's what you got coming your way.
It's pretty right, yeah.
All right, thanks to Peggy Kaczynski. She'll be back tomorrow with Dion. Peggy and Dion at 11 o'clock.
I do.
Connor McKnight.
The best job in the world.
He's got the play-by-play for you this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Thanks to our man, Tyler Aki, for producing this show. Thanks as well to Jake Cantu and our man, Nicholas, hanging out.
Yeah, Nick is here. He joined the squad.
Nicky Tumex.
Yes, yes. All right, plenty of nicknames for Nick coming your way in the near future. Thanks for letting me fill in, Tommy.
Great to see you, Jeff. Lots of good football conversation.
Have a great weekend, folks.
The tingles all over my body.
Black and Abdallah coming your way next here on ESPN 1000.